The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning. How are you?
Okay, Tov. Interesting to hear that we have finally had the first snowfalls of the winter.
Yes.
In the Golan and even in Jerusalem, a slight snowfall in Jerusalem yesterday. Children will be starting school in Jerusalem at 9 o'clock this morning in order to allow them time to get to school with the roads covered in snow, light snow, mind you, not Canada style snow where they've had this huge blizzard, but Israeli type of snow. And in the Golan, no school for children in the Golan today, as a result of the snowfalls there, and more cold weather and snow forecast for next week. So we will look out for that. In the meantime, of course, the good news from all of this, for those who don't really like wintry weather, is that the Kinneret is slowly but surely filling up. A few more centimeters added to the level of the Kinneret over the last few days. Still about 1.80 meters to go until it gets to the top of its capacity, something that hasn't happened in a number of years. So we hope that there might still be enough rain in a controlled manner, not to cause flooding, but controlled rain that will give us a full Kinneret. I somehow don't see it happening this particular winter, but let's hope at least that we will get enough to refill what was used over the summertime.
So absolutely. A storm of another kind has broken out over the use of cyber spyware on the phones of Israeli civilians without any oversight. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so this is a story that's broken in the Israeli economic newspaper, the Kalkalist, which really is a newspaper that follows more business stories than anything else. But they have broken the story about the use of the Pegasus software, which already has a certain name associated with itself, having been used in a number of different places, allegedly against politicians and against people who oppose regimes around the world. So this Pegasus software apparently has also been used within Israel by the police against Israeli civilians. Not only that, but the article goes even further to say that there were no court orders taken out in order to authorize the use of this very, very the software that really goes into the depths of the phone. It's a very strong, very powerful piece of software, and apparently can really go into the depths of everything that's on a person's phone and disclose that information to whoever has planted the software on the phone. And we understand that the Israeli police have used this, as I've said, without court orders, and also even against people who don't have any real suspicion of criminal offense against them. Some examples were cited of people who were in opposition to former Prime Minister Netanyahu, some political opposition leaders who had this planted on their phones, and indeed other people who had no charges against them, but who might have been suspected of one thing or another. And so this article has really opened up what Israeli democracy is all about. And people are saying that this is really a gross infringement of our democracy. On the one hand, we can understand if you want to conduct surveillance activities, spying, call it what you wish, against civilians who might be suspected of something. Investigations have been opened up, and the courts have authorized that this is legitimate against those particular individuals. But for the police to be able to use it without a court order of any sort, without any oversight, and against people who don't necessarily have a legitimate claim against them, any case that's being pursued against them, seems to be a real infringement of democracy in Israel. And it's a huge issue. And, you know, ironically, Israelis have become accustomed to the idea of, you know, having this type of surveillance used against people who might be considered enemies of the state. You know, that seems all to be legitimate, but when it becomes civilians of the country, people internal to the country, then people are very much sensitive about what this means for a democratic society that we live in, and who has the right to go and spy on individuals, it almost sounds kind of like Iran or Russia or one of those
countries. It's so interesting, Anthony, because, sorry to interrupt, it's almost as though Israelis do this, their own risk-reward assessment. So there are times where that they'll say, okay, you know what, we are giving up some of our personal rights or privacy rights here, but it makes sense because we fully understand we're all in this war together. We've all gone to the army, or most of us have gone to the army. I'm imagining that this is what Israelis do, and they say this is for the greater security of the country. But the minute that something like this happens, that isn't part of that deal or that risk reward assessment that makes sense to Israelis, I think that there'll be tremendous pushback, and there should be, because that breaks down the trust and almost the contract between Israeli civilians and national security.
All true, and I think it even goes further than that, because during the last couple of years over Corona, there were claims that the police were tracking people who had been diagnosed with Corona, were tracking their movements to make sure that they abide by the quarantine provisions, and that there were claims that the police had got hold of being able to track people's movements through their phones, and there was massive pushback on this, saying, who has the right to track the movement through your phone without your knowledge, without your permission, without any formal authorization by the Knesset, by the ultimate democratic institution in this country? Who gives you the right to do that? Police were doing it, apparently, and in fact, there wasn't really much denial that they were doing it, but there was eventually an agreement, and I think there was even a court order to this extent, that they would not be allowed to track people's movements unless the Knesset had mandated that they could do so. And ultimately the Knesset was not prepared to mandate that, so they were not given the right to do so. And yet we understand that even after those decisions were made, there were certain tracking activities still ongoing, and people were so opposed to that, it created a massive storm. Again, talking about whether this is legitimate use of in homegrown technology. You see, that's where the real dilemma comes, because this technology has been built by us to use against enemies of the state, as you say, in a way that has been assessed on a risk-reward basis in everybody's homes at their dining room tables. And then all of a sudden, when this particularly great technology that has been developed to defend us and to protect our national security is suddenly turned inwards, then it becomes a big issue, a massive issue. Can't use that internally. You can use it externally, but the question is, what is internal? How far do we have to go in our society to even divide up those internally who might be justified and those not? So this is a massive issue, a massive discussion about Israeli democracy and to what extent the police and other security organs are allowed to do this to us. By the way, the trust in the police is anyway at a very, very low ebb in Israeli history. Not much trust being given to police and to their activities. So this is really not going to help their cause one iota.
What is likely to happen?
Well, I think that the Knesset members the government members responsible for national security are going to have to answer to this, even though many of them were not around or not involved at all when these spying activities apparently took place. But they're going to have to answer to this, and I think that ultimately we're going to have some sort of a legal framework set up which is very, very specific about when spying surveillance activities can be used against civilians and when it is not acceptable, and they're going to have to somehow become a lot more responsible about getting the necessary court orders in order to allow them to undertake such activities.
Really, really crazy situation, one that really should not have ever happened. Israel has been approached to mediate in the standoff between Ukraine and Russia. Give us some background here.
Yeah, so this is a story that has apparently been kicking around for some time, but hasn't really been made public until now. And we understand that the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, who we know has quite close Jewish links, and in fact, according to some stories that I've read, has even Jewish blood flowing through him. He apparently approached former Prime Minister Netanyahu already some time ago, perhaps even a year or two ago, to ask if he would be prepared to organize a summit between the Ukrainian President Zelensky and the Russian President Vladimir Putin. And apparently at the time, former Prime Minister Netanyahu was not particularly enthusiastic about it, but apparently said that he would consider it if both sides wanted it. Now, that was his way of saying it ain't going to happen, because he knew at the outset that Russian President Vladimir Putin would likely never agree to this because of the nature of the standoff that exists currently between the Ukraine and Russia. And we know that that's even escalated over the past few months with claims, and we discussed this briefly yesterday in a different context, with claims that Russian troops have amassed along the borders with Ukraine. This is, of course, against the backdrop of the Crimean Peninsula having been grabbed by Russia from the Ukraine without much opposition, and now apparently Russian troops amassing on the border with Ukraine with a possible claim that the Russia might attack Ukraine and try and take Ukraine over within the near future. Now, we understand that a new approach has been made to Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, and he in turn actually went that step further of proposing a summit in Jerusalem to both Russian President Vladimir Putin and to Ukrainian President Zelensky. We understand that the response by Vladimir Putin was pretty much as expected, which was that he didn't respond or didn't show any enthusiasm at all in the idea of a summit, not in Jerusalem or potentially not anywhere, with the Ukrainian president. So I don't think that this is really going to go anywhere, and I certainly haven't imagined Prime Minister Naftali Bennett's role as peacemaker in all of this. We understand that even President Herzog, who visited Kiev not so long ago, was once again also approached by Zelensky, President Zelensky, to try to mediate some sort of a summit meeting between the two countries. I think that the Ukrainians see Israel as something of an independent party, because Israel has a relatively friendly relationship with Russia, albeit a strange relationship with Russia, and we've discussed that a few times, but also has a friendly relationship with the Ukraine. And so Zelensky, I think, has seen Israel as a potential party with friendly relations on both sides who might be able to mediate a meeting like this. I don't know whether this is something that's realistic. I'm not quite sure what Israel could really add to the situation, and potentially it could be a disaster.
And I was just going to say, why they would want to possibly risk this. Gosh, talk about risk reward. Goodness.
Right. It could potentially be a disaster if all of a sudden Russia invades the Ukraine with Israel trying to mediate between the two. I mean, that could be like
what could possibly go wrong?
Lose-lose situation.
100%. Crazy. Look, I guess Israel maybe does want to do some good here, and that is laudable. But the price that they might be asked to pay, I think, is very, very high. Was a rocket launched from Lebanon yesterday, Anthony?
I don't think so. Even though the Lebanese media made quite clear that a rocket had been launched, they claimed that unknown individuals in Lebanon launched a rocket towards Israel. That was a report in Lebanese media. Israeli army radio said that there was no indication that there had been a rocket launch. And in fact, there was even a tweet that went out saying there was no indication of any rocket fire towards Israel from Lebanon. We know that the Lebanese political environment is very unstable right now, and anything could happen there. In other words, it doesn't necessarily mean if there was a rocket launched that this has come from Lebanese governmental sources. It could well be from any of a number of renegade groups that are running around Lebanon right now. And in fact, we did see not too long ago that there were a number of rockets that were fired. I think all in all about 10 rockets were fired from Lebanon during August of last year. Apparently those rockets were fired by Hezbollah, although there were originally some claims that the rockets were fired by Hamas representatives in Lebanon as opposed to in Gaza. And apparently at that point, 20 rockets were fired into Israel, 10 of which were intercepted, and 6 apparently even didn't cross the border and fell within Lebanese territory. So this particular story was very, very odd because there seems to have been no indications on the Israeli side of any rockets being launched towards Israel. And even if those rockets had been launched within Lebanon and not crossed the border, I think that the Israeli surveillance would have been able to pick that up. But apparently, nothing was picked up at all, even though these Lebanese media reports suggested that there was, in fact, a rocket launched towards Israel. But fortunately, nothing came across our side.
Right. So it's amazing because we definitely are seeing this again, this uptick with the arrow, the testing, a real concern around this type of thing.
True. Just talking about the arrow test that we discussed the other morning, there had been a subsequent update to that test to say that, in fact, the test was launched successfully. Everything went according to plan. Initially, the reports were very vague, saying it had been done, but no reports about how successful or not it was. Subsequently, a report came out saying it was successful. I'm not sure that the arrows in itself represents a threat towards any groups in Lebanon. I mean, this is really an intercontinental ballistic missile, which would very unlikely be used in a conflict with Lebanon. But surely it sort of just ups the ante a little bit, shows that Israel is, you know, continuing to develop and continue to be prepared for any eventuality.
Absolutely. Anthony Reich, this is all that we have time for this morning. Thank you, as always, wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. Stay warm. It sounds like there is a real weather happening all around you in more ways than one. And we'll catch you on Monday morning. Have a fantastic weekend and Shabbat Shalom.